If you're spending too much time stuck in traffic in what has fast become the nation's third largest state and think the real Florida, the natural Florida, is long gone, well, you haven't been to the Steinhatchee River.
The first couple of miles, there's not going to be any houses. It's a beautiful, shady canopy, kind of river floodplain. It's really gorgeous.
That's Liz Sparks, paddling trail coordinator for the state's Office of Greenways and Trails. The Florida Wildlife Corridor Expedition recently held a group paddle here, putting in their kayaks and canoes at Steinhatchee Falls. You've never heard of it? No wonder. This is no Niagara. It's about 2 feet high. It's what passes for a rapids in Florida. Sparks says what it lacks in height, it's made up for in history.
For millennium, there's been people using the falls there as a river crossing. And you can actually take a minute and look. You can still see where there's ruts, where the wagons went across. So there's been pioneers, Andrew Jackson, Indians before that, so it's a real historically significant area.
Special to me because I guess because I grew up in this area and it's what Florida should look like and back in the turn of the century, and the wild green spaces are just beautiful.
Edwin McCook is with the Suwannee River Water Management District, which owns nearly 30,000 acres at the headwaters of the Steinhatchee. Just downstream from the falls, he points out limestone studding the shoreline. That's the underground aquifer poking its way to the surface.
As you get closer down to the coast on some of the district land, you'll see karst windows that open straight into the aquifer. And the limestone in most of this is probably 6 inches to a foot deep, below the soil.
About 20 springs bubble to the surface before the river empties into the Gulf. Their constant temperature holds the promise of warm water for manatees in the winter and cold waters to freeze your own feet in the summer. It's all a matter of perspective. Steinhatchee is nestled in the Nature Coast, where it begins its sweeping arc from peninsular Florida to the Panhandle. It's one of those charming old-time fishing villages they don't make anymore. A no-stoplight town with only a few roads that wind along the river towards the coast. Steinhatchee's biggest, and probably only, claim to fame was the Steinhatchee Seven, whose arrest made national headlines back in 1973. They had loaded up a shrimp boat with 9 tons of marijuana. Deputies snagged 450 burlap bags of Jamaican weed, at that time the largest pot bust in the nation's history. That was probably the most exciting thing to ever happen around here. Sparks says it's that kind of isolation that's also its biggest draw.
Outdoor recreation is a huge, huge part of the tourism engine that fuels the state's economy. And outdoor recreation brings $38.3 billion in direct consumer spending every single year. Fishing, hunting, wildlife viewing is huge. It's like the second thing that residents and visitors do when they come to Florida. First they go to the beach, and then they come here to see wildlife, and that's like $3 billion a year. Just in wildlife viewing.
Expedition photographer Carlton Ward Jr. says that's one of the reasons why they're traveling here.
The more time I spend here, the more I appreciate and recognize this part of Florida is a wide open frontier for conservation. We had a chance to meet with the manager for the National Wildlife Refuges in this area, including Lower Suwannee and Crystal River. And he put it in perspective that there is an opportunity for 1 million acres of conservation with only a small number of landowners. You have timber companies with 500,000 acres under management. And so that's Everglades scale conservation opportunity up here on the Gulf Coast.
Ward says that's where money from the recently passed Amendment 1 can help. Steve Newborn, WUSF, 89.7 News.
Support for Florida Wildlife Corridor Expedition reports comes from the Community Foundation of Tampa Bay.